Well, today we have a guest joining us on our program who lives in Audubon, originally from Exira, Connie Faga, with us here this morning. Connie, thanks for coming in.
Yes, thank you, Jim.
We want to talk a little bit about your experiences and some of the stories. We've discussed the flood of 1958 in Exira in many different ways over the years, including most recently when the last three surviving members of what's called the Lucky 13 made a visit from up in Minnesota down here to kind of reminisce a little bit and tell some of the stories that they haven't been able to tell for a long, long time. And we wanted to kind of visit a little bit with you because you have a connection to that Lucky 13, obviously, as well, a big connection.
Yes, I do. My father, Norman Beyer.
And he was fire chief at the time.
He was. For 25 years, my dad was fire chief.
A lot of responsibility on a fire chief. And when you have these types of emergencies come up, it tends to just be automatic that you're going to kick right in and help.
It was always automatic. When the siren went off, my dad went without question.
He was not with the rest of the family at that time, though, correct? He was down, he was in a different part of town?
He left our home. I don't remember how he got to what was considered West Exira. Mm-hmm. But he went with some firemen, and I don't know who all might have been involved. But that's what took him down there.
And then this happened. And he jumped in to help, and he happened to be in a position to help the Shepherd family.
Yes, for sure. My dad would not have been in that position. They had been down there going house to house, frantically trying to get people to leave their homes. People were sleeping. It was night. They did not want to go. They were terrified. But they had to just keep going and warn as many people as they could. Well, they were about ready to leave because it wasn't safe to stay down there anymore, and they met John Parsons. He had been uptown. His family could have been with him, and they would have all been safe, but the wife and daughter wouldn't leave their home. So when they met John, he said, "I need you guys' help. My wife and daughter are still in our home."
And they jumped into action.
They did. The water was getting deep by that time, as I remember Dad telling it. And they got to the Parsons' home. Lenore and her mother were up on a table, surrounded by water, terrified.
Absolutely, as everyone would be.
Yes, for sure.
And it's difficult because sometimes you don't want to change your position. You know in your mind, I'm safe right here, right now. I don't want to test the waters, literally. But you've got to get them to safer ground.
That's true. And the way I remember, John had driven his pickup uptown and evidently was able to still get it down in there. And so when Lenore and her mother just didn't want to leave, the firemen and who all was there picked them up and carried them to the pickup. By that time, John's pickup would not run. And so whoever was involved pushed it. I can't imagine pushing through the water at that point toward Bill Jacobson's gas station. And when they got over there, there was a small incline. They could not push the pickup up the incline.
It only goes so far. Well, now the Shepherd family was a family from Minnesota with some young children, mom, dad, some young children. They were traveling from down in Missouri, coming back after a trip, and they just happened through Exira on their way back. At the time, they knew nothing about all, they didn't know the lay of the land. They didn't know any of this stuff, and your dad happened upon them.
Yes. I am not sure who first went over to their car. But after, sadly, the Parson family was swept away right before their eyes, they formed a human chain, my dad and whoever else was involved, and they made their way up there by Bill's station, and then there was this car with his family of five from Brainerd, Minnesota. And the way I remember my dad telling it is that when they got to the car, the water was coming up over the floorboards. And, of course, the family was terrified. And by that point, they had no choice. They told them the only place to go was to get up on Danzel Nelson's gravel truck.
of all places.
Of all places, Mrs. Shepherd, I guess it was very hard to convince her. She was just beyond belief. The way I got it, they had just pulled in there. You know, had they known Exira better, perhaps they would have had time to go up to the east part of town, which was higher ground, but they wouldn't have known what Exira was like. They just pulled in there for advice and for help, and all of a sudden, there they were. Mm-hmm. Family of five, stranded in their car with the floodwaters rising.
Absolutely. And it's human nature to want to try to save yourself. Most people will do that, obviously. But your father not only tried to save himself, but he was also trying to help save these other family members as well.
That's true. The ones that ended up on the truck ended up to be a total of 13. And they all helped, I'm sure, in any way they could. But they climbed up. The way I always got it was that they stood on an edge, and then the waters were coming very hard and fast by that time, and the water came up, even though they were standing to put themselves up in the air quite a ways, the water was coming up almost to their shoulders. And my father, Norman, ended up holding the six-year-old boy, Kenneth.
And so for a point of reference, so people understand, it wasn't just rising waters, it was rushing waters.
Exactly. And there was all kinds of things. I mean, they weren't just standing there trying to hold these children up out of the water. Mrs. Shepherd was very hysterical, which would be understandable. This was her three sons and her husband, and there was a chance that they all might perish, and she was terrified. She threw her purse into the water for some unknown reason. Dad was very worried about her all night, but they managed to assure her that everything would be all right. Robert, or Bob Asbury as he was known, and Bill Jacobson did an amazing job of trying to keep everyone's spirits up during the night. If you knew those two fellows, they always had a smile. They always knew how to make you feel better. And they did whatever they could to keep the spirits up.
In talking to the Shepherd family, which we had a chance to do here recently, it's interesting to listen to their stories, because this isn't like a car crash where it's an overwhelming incident that happens real fast. This is something that happened over hours and hours and hours during the overnight. It's dark. It's quiet. They could hear the things happening around them. They could see once in a while when there was lightning in the area. They'd actually be able to see a little bit briefly. This is an experience that went on for quite a long time. So where was your family at that time? You didn't know where your dad was at that time. What were you guys thinking and talking about?
I was an only child, so it was my mother and I that were at our home. We lived just two houses west of the main street of Exira. And we were above the water level. However, it came to the street just below us going into the Legion Park. But my mother just assumed, when Dad didn't come back, that he had made it to our sale barn, which he had built, which would have been just high enough ground to the north edge of the west part of Exira that he would have been safe there. And she really never did panic. I would say approximately that they had to be in that water on that truck from about 11 p.m. to 7 the next morning. That's my best guess. But we just assumed everything was okay. I know I wasn't terrified that anything had happened to my dad. However, I very distinctly remember how the rain pounded. It pounded so hard on our windows, I just thought they were going to break. And I remember water started to come through our living room ceiling and our basement wall collapsed. And you just don't think of those type of things happening, you know, above where the floodwaters were.
In this day and age of cell phone communications, it seems like we're always connected with everyone all the time. Obviously, it wasn't like that in 1958, but stories did travel. How long did it take for some of these stories to get around in the next day or so?
Oh, boy, I don't know. It just, it was obvious the next morning. I remember my mother said to me, "Get up. You'll never see anything like this again." And even at that point, we didn't know that Dad was stranded down yet in the waters. The Legion Park was just like a lake. It was full of water. And like I say, the water came up to that street right below where we lived. It came up that high. And as far as you could see in the west part of Exira, I thought, oh, no, this is just horrible. You could see homes that were moved. You could see homes that were gone. There was just every kind of destruction, and the waters were still raging the next morning.
Absolutely. Well, your father and others that you've documented as well were heroes that night. They saved lives that night. But was there much talk about all that?
I don't think they felt like heroes. I think they felt that it was a miracle the 13 people on Dad's gravel truck came to be known as the Lucky 13. Well, I think most of them felt it was more than luck. It was a miracle from above that they were spared. Like you said earlier, it wasn't just the raging water. Things went around and by them all night. And it reached a point where electric wires on a pole somehow were traveling toward them in the water. And they needed to be lifted up over the 13 on the truck. And Bill Jacobson came to the rescue again. He had no idea why he had brought a rake along with him when he climbed on the truck. And Bob Asbury, the way Dad told it, took a hold of that and was able to lift those wires up over the people. And when they hit the water on the other side, it just cracked and popped and fire and sparks flew. So obviously, if those wires had not been lifted by Bill Jacobson's rake, they probably all would have been electrocuted.
Yeah. Again, so many stories all over the area. And that's one of the reasons we have these visits. We want to try to document as many of these stories as we can. And so many people have done so much to put all this on paper. There's quite a good collection of things as well at the Exira Library.
Yes, there is. And Judy Nelson also has done a wonderful job with the display at the Historical Museum. She has made good efforts to preserve as much as possible so that these stories are handed down. I think you asked me earlier, and I didn't really answer. Once morning came, just horrible stories started to come in. I often went to the grocery store for my mother and would bring the groceries home, and Harry Wiggus was the one who ran the grocery store, and he and his brother Frank from Audubon both perished. And I was just horrified. These were young men with young families, and every story you heard, and then you heard about Elsie going down the river all those miles and being saved, and then you started hearing about the ones that were either dead or missing. And it was an unbelievable time for the town of Exira.
Yeah, obviously all in the past now, but at the time it happened, It seemed like it was going to take forever probably to bounce back from that. The loss of property, the loss of lives, the way the town had to essentially change that evening.
That's true. Many people came in to help and to look for bodies, and of course, the only body that was never recovered was Lenore Parsons, which was doubly sad for my dad because he was there, when the family was carried away, And John was calling out, "Please don't let my family die," but there was no choice. I mean, there were many things like this that, even though there was the good news of these 13 people getting on the truck and surviving, there were others that were swept in the waters.
Well, there are things that you see, memories that you'll have, emotions that you carry with you for the rest of your life, too. And that continues on through some of the stories that have been told by people who experienced it and the next generation of folks who came after, as we saw with the Shepherd family there, too. Connie, thank you so much for coming in and sharing with us. Lots of information there, and folks can always learn more. There are plenty of folks still yet to talk to about some of the activities and some of the things that went on, 61 years ago now already. It's been a long time now, hasn't it?
Wow. Yes, it has been.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.